Hi, everybody, and welcome to day three of 40 Days in the Word devotionals. Today, we're going to look at Matthew chapter 13. So get out your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 to 23. And leading us today is my good friend, Dave Givens. Dave is the pastor at New Song Church in Irvine. He's a wonderful friend, and it's a great church. He's the author of a book called The Monkey and the Fish, which I highly recommend. Dave, give us today's devotional.
Hello, I'm Dave Gibbons. I'm speaking from Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 23. We're going to highlight especially verses 3 through 9, and then also verses 18 through 23. Read with me. It says, "Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear." Then look at verse 18. And this is important because you'll find that in the scriptures, many times the interpretation is in the passage itself or in the context. And here you have the definition of what's meant by the seed and even the soil. "Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears a message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among their thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." Now, whenever you look at parables in the scriptures, usually you'll find authors trying to complicate and really make the interpretation complex. But it seems when Jesus is telling a parable, he's trying to get across a singular important truth. What is it? Well, to understand that singular important truth, we saw what one has to do. You have to really understand what is meant by soil and seed. The seed in this passage refers to the Word of God. And we know the Word of God to be the Scriptures themselves, but it also can be Jesus. When Jesus engages us, he's the seed. He's the seed of David. But also in John chapter 1, in that first part of that chapter, it says that Jesus, or in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is a clear reference to Christ. So Jesus himself is that seed. So when Jesus is planted in us and his Word is planted in us, then amazing things can happen. Now, where is it planted? It's the soil. The soil is in reference to the condition of our hearts. So if the condition of our heart, as described in this text, is hard, like along the path, what happens is it's like, you know, us getting a phone call, but we don't pick it up. Or if it falls amongst the rocks, it doesn't get any roots. So it's like you got the phone call, you picked it up and said hello, but you didn't have a conversation. And then if it falls amongst the thorns, it says basically you picked up the phone, you start talking to God, you got the word, you had a conversation, you're going deeper, but then all of a sudden the temptations or the trials of this life got you distracted and it got you paralyzed or you stopped paying attention. But then he says if that seed, the word of God, is planted in the right soil where your heart's open, is ready to have this loving relationship with Christ, then you could have this incredibly fruitful life. So the simple truth is really about the conditions of our heart. Are we ready to receive who Jesus is and his word in our hearts? Now, that's a great truth, right? But the reality is we have to apply it. You know, how do we prepare our hearts to receive the seed of God, to receive Jesus himself or how he's working in our lives? Well, I think the most important thing is that we really have to listen to God. We have to make sure that we're paying attention. Now, why is that so important? Well, a lot of times we're trying to figure out what is the strategy of our life? What are we supposed to do? What is the will of God? And we're trying to figure out this linear path, the step 1 through 10. And a lot of life isn't that way. In fact, we can't just initiate a movement. If we do, a lot of times it may not be God's movement. So how are we supposed to go about really allowing this seed to take root in our lives so that we're fruitful? Well, the way we go about it is the way Jesus did in John chapter 5. It says that Jesus only did what he saw his Father doing. So his life, instead of being one of initiating, was actually a responsive life. He was looking for the fingerprints of God all throughout his life, whether it's in his story or one's life, or in his circumstances, or through people, the Word of God, or through visions and dreams. We're looking for the Holy Spirit to speak to us, or for Jesus to connect with us. And when he does, we follow him. But are we listening? So practically, we need to create space in our lives just to listen to God. We're trying to pay full attention to him and his voice. I remember when I was, in my seventh year of marriage with my wife. I've been married for 27 years. In the seventh year, I was about to go in this deep sleep. And when I hit the sack, man, I can go in this deep comatose state, and I'm out within just a few moments. But my wife, she's much deeper than myself. She actually will reflect upon the whole day. And as I was about to go into deep sleep, I heard her say, "David, you really don't know me." And I said, "Oh no, this is going to be a long night." And I said, "What do you mean with intrepidation and fear?" And she said, "I don't think you really listen to me." And I listened for the next 3 hours. And the truth was, she was exactly right. I mean, absolutely right. I realized I wasn't listening to her. And what was crazy about this, I had the illusion that she was my best friend and that things were going great, when in reality, it wasn't. As I prayed about this and leaned into it some more, I felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me, saying, "David, this is how you deal with me. You know, here you have a woman that you see that's saying that she doesn't listen, or that you don't listen to her. How do you deal with me, a God who you don't see?" And I realized I wasn't listening to God. So I found I had to reorient my schedule. I had to stop seeing some things, doing some things. I had to learn to look at nuance, to see colors, and to awaken to the moves of God every day in my life. And listen, if you can prepare your heart to do that every day, where when you wake up in the morning, that alarm goes off, and you're not thinking about the drudgery and the boredom and the routine, but you're thinking about the expedition, the exploration, the great adventure God's called you to, then man, life can be so thrilling. It can produce this incredible fruitfulness. You see, this passage is referring to the temptations of this world, you know, the thorns that start to crowd our lives out to the point that we're paralyzed, where our roots can't go deep anymore, and the seed of God, his word, or Jesus himself, is not engaging us as much, because we're just so focused on the other things of this earth. It's a fire that's growing. If you're a young person, you have these temptations that are like wildfire that are burning, raging within you. How do you deal with that? Well, the only way you deal with it is with the burning man. It's Jesus. You know, when you think about firefighters, the only way they fight fires a lot of times is they fight fire with fire, not just with water. But the fire has to be greater than the one that's ravaging the fields. And that fire, of course, is Christ himself. My prayer for all of you is that as you think about this passage today, is that you'll see Jesus as the seed, that he is the word, and he wants to connect with you. He wants to make your life every day filled with excitement and great joy. So may the Lord bless each of you as you continue on your path of pursuing God with all your hearts.